Turn your Bibles, to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. What we've been doing on Sunday evenings here for a time is to consider about some scriptures that the Lord gives us and how that we need to take heed to these scriptures. The Lord's placed them here, and they're in different places. We need to take heed to them as His children. We might have understanding about things happening in our lives. The title of these messages and the consideration of examples that we've looked at has been, why do we get weak, sick, and die? And here in James chapter 5, we've used this as a text verse in verse number 12. But above all things, brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. If we don't have our yea be yea and our nay be nay, then we will be there in condemnation. This is speaking to the Lord's children. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So prayer there for the one that's sick, being called by the Lord or by the membership of the church to do so, or that one that is in that illness and this oil we've pointed out. I believe that's a state-of-the-art medicine. It's there. Asking the Lord to bless with power. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, and the word if is there, he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. It's not a thing of trying to figure out if he's committed sins, but the indication there is that sickness can come upon the Lord's people because of that. And so that prayer is certainly there and is necessary for the healing and for the forgiveness of those sins if it need be. The Lord says if. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Okay, and so we do need to be in prayer for one another. We have those that are sick even to today, and we've got this respiratory thing, as Brother Doug mentioned, that's going on. We certainly need to pray one for another, but it could be that the Lord might be working in us as children. Okay, and let's read on. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And he gives an example here about Elijah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We see here the scripture says in chapter 3, verse number 16, know ye not that you are the temple of God? Speaking to the church at Corinth and the members of this church, the people of God. Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? He lives in this tabernacle, in us. And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. We need to live before the Lord, not justify things in our own mind, in our own hearts, but listen to what God says in His Word. And we will always be helped and instructed that way. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are empty, that they are vain. So He says, tells us here, and speaks to us about we being the temple of God, and if we defile it, it can be that the Lord destroy us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to read all these scriptures tonight. This will be the last time we'll be speaking on this subject, and so we want to just put these together that we might remember. I trust you remember the examples in the scripture that we've taken a look at. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 30, for this lack of discernment, verse number 29, 1 Corinthians 11, 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, speaking of the Lord's Supper there in the church at Corinth, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That's the issue. That's the problem. For this cause many are weak, sickly among you, and many sleep. And so the condition of membership there, not talking about those not saved, not talking about those outside of the church, but talking about the people of God, there's been a lack of discernment here, and it's brought weakness. Weakness can be seen and experienced in many different ways. It can be, but then we get to the health part, sickly among you, and some are even were called home by the Lord. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verse number 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, there's the latter part, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, and I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Okay, that keeping of ourselves, if we don't keep ourselves, whether we have the counter indication of the scripture here and we have the direct indication of it, he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Okay, but if one does not keep themselves, the wicked one may touch him. I think we can draw that conclusion, especially with the scripture we're going to add. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, that we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Verse 21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Why would the Lord speak to us about keeping ourselves from idols? Because we are subject to it. We are subject to bring idols to us. But it says here about prayer one for another, verses 16 there and 18, 16 through 18, seeing a brother sin a sin that's not unto death, pray. Pray that the Lord will grant help. Pray that the Lord will grant repentance and help. Otherwise, there can be a danger in that. We can help. And it says here in verse 18 that that wicked one, he that keeps himself, is begotten of God, saved, born of God, begotten of God, keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians 5. We want to put these pieces together that we might understand how these scriptures lay there. I know I've read them many times and read pieces and parts of them many times, but we need to have this principle and this concept that's in the scripture that we might be helped, we might be warned, we might be established in these things as the Lord speaks to us as children, because that's where it's coming to, that's who it's coming to, is to we as children. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 5, it says here in this situation about the church being puffed up, this fornication that's evident amongst them. He says in verse number 5 of this chapter, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. The wicked one's going to touch that one, isn't he? Yeah, the wicked one, because in putting them out of the church, Satan may be released by the Lord to deal with the flesh of that person. But if this man here in this example, in this account, would have kept himself, would have not sought this licentiousness and this fornication with his father's wife, he would have kept himself from the wicked one, wouldn't he? And but he did not, and so this is the indication of the apostle. So we see these scriptures, and they're essentially summarized here in Hebrews chapter 12. And so go look over here. These things can be so for the child of God. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 5, and you've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he of whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our own flesh, of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits of and live and give him reverence, okay? Because he is due the reverence above and beyond that which we gave our fathers. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. Remember that about chastisement. It's always for the profit of the child of God, even if it is that extreme. We've mentioned about just the whole spectrum of chastisement that we will experience, not may experience, but will experience as children, from that of the chastisement of the still small voice of God. When the Lord says, Jim, that's not right. Jim, you know you need to stay away from that, or you know you need to be all the way from there, all the way to the Lord taking us out. That's the whole spectrum of chastisement that can be upon the child of God. It says here, he does so for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Because that's what he expects of us, his holiness in him and through him. It goes on to say here in verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which were exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Be encouraged in the Lord, knowing that you have a Father that loves you and that gave his Son for us. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, and let it rather be healed. I mentioned some time ago about how the scripture says, don't despise that chastening, but know that we have a Father, a heavenly Father, that loves us. So, chastisement can certainly be a thing that would be a reason why we as the Lord's children can become weak, sick, or die. We can't figure that out for each other. That's not the purpose of this. The purpose is to hear the word of God coming to us and us have the warning that's there and understand that the Lord can touch our bodies, can touch our family, or can touch our stuff that he's blessed us with. Another aspect that is certainly here is that there's just the events of life, as we would say. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, we'll read this. As it is with the wealth of this world and even the blessing of other things, even beyond wealth. There is an aspect of why we get weak, sick, and die. Sometimes we just get weak. Sometimes we just get sick. Sometimes we die. We are completely, all of us are subject to sin. All the creation, all of mankind is subject to the effects of sin. And sin brings death. It's bringing it in our bodies. It's happening. And so it can just be the playing out of those things in life. And we refer to this passage here in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But from the standpoint of where we live here in time, I think that's what Solomon is so much speaking about. From our vantage point, time and chance happeneth to them all. And it is that case. And so why do we get weak, sick, and die? Well, it could be chastisement, or it could just be the things of life playing out. Is anything out of the hand or controlling hand of the Lord? Not a thing. Not a thing. He knows. He allows. He works. He does. There is an aspect also that all men are subject to and that we see in Galatians chapter 6. And so let's look over here. Galatians chapter 6 is this. It speaks here in Galatians 6 verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Sin comes the way of our brother or our sister. It can come our way just as easily. It can happen to me before the sun goes down. And so the thing is, it's not we shouldn't compromise on a stand about the truth, but we should engage to restore one that is repentant and desirous to be such. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. There is the bearing of one another's burden. There is the bearing of our own burden. Verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Let those that teach you know that the Lord is blessing through that ministry. Now that's what that's saying. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Here's the principle that rests upon all men, saved or not. We as the children of God, we have that of chastisement. We have just the normal course of life that is upon all men. And we have this that is upon all men. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we can't expect anything different. If I sow a thing, I'm going to bring back way more than I put down. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If I sow to my flesh and my old man, that's what I'm going to get back, guaranteed. And I'm going to get more of it. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And don't you want to reap good? Amen. We do want to reap good. And so we should heed that warning, even as the children of God. We should reap well. We have the blessing to be able to reap well, because the Spirit of God lives within. We've been saved. We've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Christ in me, my hope of glory. We have that ability given to us by the Lord. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And so these principles are there. Chastisement, the happenings of life, and reaping and sowing. We've looked at several examples, and we've considered different ones, and how there was certainly a cause and effect in some of those examples, and then some of those examples, it's just left open to be a mystery. In some of those examples, it's been at the directive of God to work a thing that he wanted to accomplish in that person for a witness. Last time we saw in Deuteronomy 28 about the promises to Israel. The promises that he gave said, follow me, obey me, I'll bless you, but go away from me. Oh, and the cursing will be great. We want to take a look at tonight just four quick examples that you're going to be familiar with. And all of these gave their life. They all died. And I think we're going to see what the case was with them. Let's go ahead and do this first. As we consider this point about the possibility of chastisement in our lives, and as we walk with the Lord, let's turn over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and let us just consider this, these things that were told in the Scripture that we as the children of God should be doing and should be doing continually. We read over in Hebrews chapter 12 about chastisement, that every son is going to be a partaker of chastisement. It's going to range in degree. And if I get wayward, the chastisement of my heavenly Father, the intensity of that is going to increase if I'm found in that way. It says there that chastisement will be experienced by the child of God. Here the apostle is dealing with this church at Corinth, and they have doubt about him being an apostle. They have doubt about him being one that should even speak to them about the issues and problems that they have. There are some amongst them that say, who are you to be talking to us about this? And so they seek a proof in him, as he mentions here in chapter 13, verse 3. We pick it up there in verse 3. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he, the Lord Jesus Christ, liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Here's the key. Here's what we want to focus on in this passage. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, and we should well do so. examine ourselves. If we examine ourselves, then it'll not be that the church would have to examine us. It would not be that the Lord would have to become involved in our lives to open our eyes to some things. Sometimes it need be that the Lord brings us along that way. But he says, he mentions and says and charges this church, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Again, James talks to us about faith without works is dead, isn't it? And so we need to do an evaluation. Are we learning? Are we growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord? Do you have some things been added to your faith this year that weren't there last year? Have some things that had faded away been renewed this year that had gone away previously? We need to be moving. We need to be gaining ground in our service for the Lord. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus is in you, except you be a reprobate? If Christ is in us, we shouldn't be quenching the Spirit and grieving the Spirit of God, should we? But Christ should be manifested more in us. We become more sanctified, more set apart for the service and work of the Lord. More yielded to Him, more in tune with Him. That is that spiritual growth that we're called into. But I trust, and the apostle has certainly hope of them, even in their disobedience and those things that they're dealing with there, but I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. He says, I'm not a reprobate. I hope that you know that you're not a reprobate, but you've been saved by the Lord, and He is working in you. 2 Peter chapter 1. Here the apostle admonishes these us that he's speaking to here, 2 Peter chapter 1, that by great and precious promises in verse number 4, we might be partakers of the divine nature of Christ, escaping the corruption that's in the world through lust, and add to our faith these things. Faith given to us by the Lord and possessed by us and exercised by us and in us by the power of God in us. Add these things. We've preached on that some time ago. But look what it says down here in verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Now what's blind mean? Blind means see a little bit, see 50%. It can be so bad that we can't even see. What's it go on to say? But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and can be so bad and get so such a bad shape and forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. To forget that you've been saved? Isn't that what it says? Yeah, we can get in such a shape. We can get in such a shape. Even in the midst, as David says, Solomon says, I was almost in all iniquity in the midst of the congregation. In the midst of the assembly. Yeah, it can happen. It can happen. And the Lord will work on his people because of that. Examine ourselves. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, don't go that way. Don't go that blinding way. Don't go that old way of the flesh. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Do that, for if you do these things, you shall never fail. But here's the promise, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How can it be that we can serve? How can it be that we can even ever stand a chance of being faithful? Because the Lord Jesus Christ came, lived, suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again for us. That's how. If it wasn't for that, there would be no hope of serving the Lord well. There would be no hope of serving the Lord acceptably, would there? But because Jesus has saved you, you can. You can. And so we have this admonition to examine ourselves, to prove ourselves, to be found, to see if we be found in the faith, and to make our calling and election sure. Four examples, real quick. Acts chapter 7. Why do we get weak, sick, and die? Acts chapter 7. I trust that rang a bell with you when we mentioned that chapter. You know this man, I believe one of the deacons there, chosen by the first church in Jerusalem, and indicated or ordered by the Lord in through his church, a man full of faith. And it says here in Acts chapter 7, verse number 59, "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Verse 60 of Acts 7, "And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Wow. They're killing him. Is that a witness and testimony of anything? It is, isn't it? He, even though they're killing him, even though there have been those all around the border there of the Mediterranean that have come to Jerusalem and have withstood his words and railed against that which he preached and just were vehement because of it, he says, Lord, don't lay it to their charge that they're murdering me. That was a witness and a testimony. We know it was to the Apostle Paul, don't we? It's part of what the Lord used to touch him. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Acts chapter 12. A brother here recently mentioned about how, I'll go back here to where I just read and I'll read something to you about this. I think I will. Yeah. It goes on to say in Acts chapter 8, verse number 2, "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him." Okay, and so there's that mention there. Now look here in Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, verse number 1. "Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church." Acts 12, 2. "And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread." Not much there said about James, is there? Other than he's dead. James the apostle. John's brother. And there's not even an account about them coming and getting to him and burying him. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. "Hear the honor roll of faith, and many names mentioned." And we pick it up in verse number 33, where names are no longer mentioned, but the account of those that are mentioned here and those that have been faithful, the things that they endured are mentioned. In verse number 33 of Hebrews 11, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again." Well, those are good things, aren't they? Blessed things. The power of God being manifested, and they were able to see it and experience it and rejoice in it. But right there in verse 35, it takes a turn, doesn't it? "And others were tortured," the apostle writes, "not accepting deliverance. It was offered to them, but they refused it, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted and tormented. His own comment is his side comment here, of whom the world was not worthy. The world was not worthy of these saints that endured these things for the sake of the Lord. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They didn't see the Savior come and the Lord Jesus Christ, Messiah, coming as Savior. They didn't get to see it, but they believed and trusted in Him, didn't they? They looked forward to Him coming, and they endured faithfully by the grace and power of the Lord. God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Whoa. The Lord bringing the Savior in time, and those that endured those things before the coming of the Savior, it wouldn't all be complete until it came to our time and those that remain that the Lord will bring. And then it'll be right. I believe that's what it's talking about. But look at how these died. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse number 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Lazarus was sick. Verse 3. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And so you know that the Lord delays in going back, and he speaks to him about walking in the light and the work that needs to be done, and that one would stumble in darkness. And I think what he's talking about is this time of life is the time of service. And in verse number 11, these things said he, that after that, verse number 11, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. That's the Lord's consideration of death. His disciples said, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Verse number 4, what's it say there? The Lord knew what he was going to do regarding Lazarus, and Lazarus did die. Now, what the Lord did with him, I don't have to figure out, okay? But the scripture says he died, amen? And he was so dead that they buried him. Okay? What's it say there in verse 4? And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. But he did die, didn't he? But in regards to the Lord, as he indicated that it's sleep in verse number 11, the Lord knew what he was going to do. He wasn't fretting. He wasn't worried one bit. But notice what it says there on in verse 4. But for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Why do we get weak, sick, and die? Sometimes it's for the glory of the Lord. Amen? Now may God help me, and I know you desire it for yourself. If you're here a child of God and you're in fellowship with the Lord at all, would any of us ever want to be taken out of this life by virtue of the chastisement of our Heavenly Father? No, no. But may the Lord help it to be that when we die, when it comes time for us to die, that it be that we've enjoyed the time that the Lord's given us. What is it that in general the Lord promises in His Word? 70. And if it be by reason of strength, 80, that would be a good way to die, wouldn't it? Serving the Lord, following Him, And we know we're not perfect. We know we're not perfect. We know we're not sinless. But not being a rebellious child where the Lord would have to touch our lives and take us out before then. Or wouldn't it be a good thing by the grace and help of the Lord that the Lord would take us out of this life and that we would even give our lives for the glory of God? That'd be a good way too, wouldn't it? Now the old man doesn't like that. And the skin doesn't like that. And the old brain and the old mind doesn't like that. But if that be the pleasure of the Lord to work in us, he'll give us strength and help and grace to go through that. The thing is, are you living for the Lord now? There won't be a miraculous change when that would be required. But there would need to be that growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord to bring us to that time. How do you think Stephen was able to bow and say, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge? When people got on Stephen's nerves earlier, did he rail and scream and carry on at them? No, he had become able to be peaceful with them because of his fellowship with the Lord, his fellowship in the Word, and the Spirit of God within him. We don't take an immediate turn. But we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord so that we might be used that way. Why do we get weak, sick, and die? Well, there's different reasons. May the Lord help us that it not be because of disobedience. Amen. May the Lord help us in that. Let's stand and have a song as the song leader comes, piano player comes. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. If you die in your condition, you are heading to the devil's hell. Hell and that holding place, that place of torment and fire, the rich man was there, not because he was rich, but because he rejected God's way of salvation. Lazarus was not there in the bosom of Abraham because he was poor. He was there because he had the Lord as his Savior. He was there because Jesus had visited him. Yeah, it was before the time that Jesus came and suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again. But Lazarus looked forward to that. That God would work his salvation. That God would bring him along. And whatever needed to be done. That's what Lazarus trusted in. He trusted in the Lord. Salvation has always been of the Lord. But if you die without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're heading for a devil's hell. And you'll be there until the time that the Lord Jesus Christ sits on that great white throne and all those out of hell be brought up and to be judged out of the books. As it says there in Revelation chapter 20. And it'll be noted there, I believe the Word of God will be there at that judgment and the Lord will say, why didn't you heed my message to you? Why didn't you heed the Word? The warning, the salvation that I sent. Why did you not heed it? And then the Lamb's Book of Life will be shown. Your name's not written there. And what does it say? That all those that are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, written in the Book of Life, will be cast into the lake of fire. I find it interesting. It doesn't say dropped. Doesn't say placed. But it says cast into the lake, in the lake of fire. Forever. Forever. It's hard for us to understand forever, isn't it? It's hard for us to comprehend forever. Because from the time we're born, we know this life isn't forever. But it's forever. Do you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?